live from New York, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City. And I welcome you from all over the world. We're going to talk about zinc and why it's so important for vascular inflammation reduction, and why children younger than 12 do not need over-the-counter cough and cold remedies. Actually, it's against their better interest. And how pomegranates could be used to slow the aging process. Now, that's eating pomegranates fresh. That's good. But it's also the juice and the concentrates. They're all good. And we're also going to learn about probiotics and how probiotics are really important for athletic immune system defense, and more on health and healing. Then today, I decided not to have guests, said I want to do a little more on vaccines. And the reason why is because Donald Trump has selected a very pro-vaccine person to be the head of all of our health programs in the United States. He is firmly in the court of the pharmaceutical industry. So we can look forward to more mandatory vaccines, not just for children, but for adults. And so I want to show you how bad the science is. Now, he's a physician, but that means nothing. After all, let us remember that every year, every single year, the number one cause of death is not cancer or stroke or heart disease or diabetes. It's iatrogenesis, medically induced. But there is no accountability whatsoever. Zero. Zip. So the fact that someone has an MD after their name means nothing when it comes to whether or not we can trust their judgment on what we, the people, should be doing. So I'm going to deal with that. Also, I'm going to show you a few more things that why aren't we focusing in the media more about the people who are actually destroying life, aiding, abetting, and funding and protecting terrorists. We know who they are specifically. We know how they're doing it. Well, there's a reason why we're not focusing on them. I'll share that with you today. Also, President Obama breaks a record, but it's not a good record. But I'll share what that record is. And from our environmental segment, how warming of the globe is playing havoc. And we are now at that tipping point where the Arctic is tipping. It's not coming back. If you've noticed in the last 48 hours, there have been fires throughout Tennessee, burning whole towns around them, schools, buildings, and in South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia. It's only going to get worse. I'll explain why. And also today, a commentary from Chris Hedges, Waiting for the Barbarians, from Truth Dig. Also, President Obama has a legacy, but not one I would want. And David McCormick of Truth Out tells us what it is. I'll share that as well. Also, I didn't have a chance yesterday to finish the philosophers who I believe said so many important things in their time that we could benefit from today. So I'll give you a few more of those updates so you can put it on your reading list if you'd like to see what some Montaigne and others thought. We're also going to hear on our audio clips from an ex-Marine, decorated ex-Marine, who blows the whistle on Syrian false flags and what's the real agenda, because the media is not telling you. And also, who said that the Middle East was better off under Gaddafi and Saddam Hussein? Can that be true? Not only is it true, but the numbers behind it will stun you. Reality checks. Is going to share that with you. Also, we're going to see what happens inside the State Department when a reporter asks a very basic question about if it's illegal to engage in chemical weapons in anywhere, and the United States is waging a war over chemical weapons, yet it gives aid to Israel, which is illegal due to Israel having nukes but not signing the Non-Proliferation Treaty. Watch how this guy tries to dance around this. So we have a lot to share. Let's begin. Zinc is a very important mineral. It's a small amount that you need. You don't need much. 15 to 20 milligrams is about right for most people. It keeps your immune system strong, helps prevent colds. Zinc lozenges are good if you have a sore throat. Well, new research from the Nutritional Metabolic Disease and Conditions report shows that zinc deficiency, and that means when you don't have enough, actually worsens your body and creates a vascular inflammation. But if you have enough, you actually turn off vascular inflammation. And that would help a lot of people with cardiovascular disease. So to all the other nutrients, vitamin E, coenzyme Q10, L-carnitine, hawthorn, magnesium, and calcium, all very important for your heart health. Now add zinc. About 10 to 15 milligrams a day would do fine. Now, pomegranates are also in the news again because it's been shown that they impact the aging process. A new study published in the journal Nature Medicine focused on the mitochondria. Now, the mitochondria, these tiny rod-like power plants in cells that play a vital role in turning food into energy. Over time, the mitochondria become worn out and damaged, a process that is very common over the age of 40, and you end up having the mitochondria not be able to be clearing out the debris, and they become defective, and they're not getting fresh replacements. So as we age, this mitophagy becomes less efficient, and cells end up cluttered with old, poorly functioning mitochondria. Just imagine if you never serviced your car engine, you never changed the oil, you never balanced the tires or the brakes. Just imagine how it's going to run at 20, 30, 40,000 miles. Same way the body. So the buildup of dysfunctional mitochondria is associated with many conditions of aging, such as Parkinson's disease. Well, a team of Swiss scientists found that a nutrient that is inside the pomegranate can make a difference, a big difference. Now, we already knew that pomegranate is great for repairing damage to your arterial walls, the epithelium. We did not know until now that pomegranate, either the juice, unsweetened, or the concentrate, or the powder, or the fresh, once you have that in your body, it actually repairs and cleans up the mitochondria. And that helps it function better, providing more energy to the brain, to the heart, to your muscles. That's terrific. So that little tiny red ruby superfruit, which has been revered by the ancients as the food of the gods, that's what they used to call it, is now one of our anti-aging nutrients. It contains the phytonutrients that combat a fundamental aging process which causes muscles to weaken. And so what we need is we need to take more pomegranate into our diet. Now also, there's an article that it's part of it is very interesting from my perspective because this time of year, when people are in cold season, you're going to find people, first thing, they're going to see the ads for, well, get this to stop your running nose, get this to stop your wheezing, get this to clear up your sinus, get this to, you get the point. And most of these are for over-the-counter or what are called OTC cough and cold remedies. Well, according to Medical Express, the common cold season, it's here, and people are suffering, but especially children. In fact, most people are not aware that children experience more colds, anywhere from 6 to 10 colds per year, more than adults. Now, with each cold producing symptoms of nasal congestion, runny nose and cough, and mild fever, lasting up to 7 to 10 days, it may seem that children are nearly continuously sick. Parents certainly want their children not to be sick, want them to feel better, so they want to turn off the symptoms. So they reach for the over-the-counter drugs, which are heavily advertised. Just go down any of the pharmacy lanes and you'll see all these cold remedies. But here's what you have to understand. when treating children with over-the-counter medications or prescription medications, understand that young children differ significantly from the adult population with respect to drug efficacy and adverse effects. And over the last 30 years, we've learned much more about pediatric pharmacology and drug action and behavior. This is known as pharmacokinetics, and differences are substantial between a child, let's say 12 and under, and an adult. And prior to then, everyone took the same amount. Well, based upon the idea that, gee whiz, it's just a kid, look how lightweight they are compared to an adult. And by the way, they do the same thing with a vaccine. If you're a 6-pound baby or a 400-pound male, you're going to get the same vaccine. That's absolutely insane. That shows you how bad the science is. So then what is a safe dose? What is an effective dose? Do any of these actually reverse the symptoms or that reverse a cold or flu? The answer is no. They just interfere in the body's natural process. But think of it this way. If you have a runny nose or you have phlegm being coughed up through your throat, the body's actually using that mechanism to purge bacteria. If you were to take any sputum out of someone's nose or out of their throat and look under it, you're going to see all forms of viruses and bacteria. Why would you want to stop the process? In fact, what you want to do is you want to have a process that builds the immune system, strengthens it, and doesn't have any side effects. So don't be rushing out to give your kid some over-the-counter cold remedy, because there are a lot of serious side effects, and especially the codeine. So stay away from codeine, because it's not good. It's an opiate, and yet it's still available over-the-counter in some cough medicines in some areas, in some states. And we've learned in recent years that codeine is metabolized differently from each person. Codeine alone has absolutely no useful pharmacological activity. But the liver chemically alters it in its active form, morphine, and another chemical. And morphine is dangerous because it suppresses breathing. And the only time you hear people using morphine is at end stage with cancer to kill the pain. But it also helps kill the person and puts them in an altered state so they become unaware. By the time a person doesn't feel pain from their cancer by how much morphine they're using, they're generally near death, and their body starts to shut down. Well, some individuals can convert codeine into a lot of morphine, and while others may convert codeine to much less morphine, and evidence has accumulated over the past 10 years demonstrating that codeine can produce a significant decrease in breathing in some infants and children. So the question is, do you want a baby, do you want a toddler, do you want a young kid that has difficulty breathing, now have less capacity for breathing? So what then is the solution? Well, I'm big on solutions, and the solution is simple. First, vitamin D3. Vitamin D3 is extremely safe, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 units. Also, vitamin C, buffered. The best way of taking vitamin C if you're coming down with a cold or flu is to make yourself a big protein shake, like 32 ounces. And here's what I would put in it. I would put about 5,000 milligrams of vitamin C and about 4,000 milligrams of quercetin. On top of that, I would put about 1,000 milligrams of olive leaf extract and probably 20 drops of wild oregano oil. I would also put, depending upon if you can get it easily, some bee propolis, and I would also put some green tea in there, and then some Manuka honey. All of these are phenomenally important for your immune system. And then drink that down, and you could mix that with any of the beverages you like, but I would prefer green vegetable juice would be good. And that way the body tolerates it. So you drink a little bit throughout the whole day, but every 2 hours, take another mouthful. Okay? And also get those probiotics in there. And finally, probiotics, according to the Medical University of Innsbruck in Austria, are really good for your immune system defenses. Quote, taking daily probiotics may help boost immune systems of training athletes and reduce their risk of upper respiratory tract infections. So that's good. So get your probiotics every day. This was a 12-week study, and they found that there was a substantial reduction against the placebo in the athletes getting fatigue after exercising if they took probiotics. So probiotics can make a difference because you keep your immune system strong. That's the latest on health and healing. I'm Gary Nall. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
You better stop, dogging me around. If you don't stop, I'm gonna put you down.
You can watch all the programs, Monday to Friday, noon to 1 Eastern Standard Time, Tuesday 7 to 8 with Progressive Commentary Hour, by going to Ustream channel and just searching for Gary Nall. You can listen over your computer. There are multiple sources, and the most popular right now for a lot of people who are out and about is listening over their portable devices, from a cell phone to a telephone. And that number to call to listen live is 701-801-3662, 701-801-3662. But here's the interesting part. 99% of the people listening to this program are listening in the evening. We have a very unique profile. It is a college-educated 37-year-old woman is the average listener to this program, listening at night from home. So we got another number. You can listen from the archives, download the archives whenever you want if you miss a show. 701-719-9976. 701-719-9976. And by the way, we have more people downloading or listening live and downloading the shows by telephone than Sean Hannity, Laura Ingram, Michael Savage, who else I saw on that list? Alex Jones. In fact, of all 10,000 services using it, we have about 26%. So a lot of people are listening that way. I'm going to talk a moment about vaccines and why I'm concerned. I'm going to give you a little bit of background on the new PICT, Head Health and Human Services, which oversees all the health divisions like the National Cancer Institute, the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Disease, the FDA, the CDC. All those come under that person. So it's an extraordinarily powerful person. And unfortunately, that person has very strong ties. And so I look at the nominees, and virtually every one of the nominees that Trump has selected has lots of corporate associations. And do we really want another corporatocracy head of any committee or any department? No, we do not. But that's what we have. And I'll give you an example beyond that. Trump is expected to name the anti-worker billionaire William Wilbur Ross as Commerce Secretary. And that's not good. Ross is a billionaire, and he owns a private equity firm known for buying up failed businesses. He's referred to as the king of bankruptcy. He's made his fortune restructuring struggling industrial operations like steel mills and coal mines, but his methods have been slammed for costing workers their jobs. And in one notorious case in West Virginia, costing their lives. This is what I read in The Nation. I'll quote this about this Wilbur Ross, head of the Commerce Secretary. And by the way, he is very much a pro-Trans-Pacific Partnership and NAFTA and GAFTA person. It says, one of ICG's acquisitions in West Virginia was the Sago Mine, about 100 miles east of Charleston. The mine, a non-union operation, racked up a slew of safety violations from federal inspectors, more than 208 in 1 year alone. Though Ross claimed not to be part of the operating management at Sago, he admitted later that he was aware of the violations and waved them away. Quote, then early one January morning, methane ignited deep in the mine. The explosion instantly killed one worker and stranded a dozen others about 2 miles from the mouth of the mine, in a passageway filled with carbon monoxide. It was more than an hour before company managers called for help, and 4 hours until a rescue team arrived. Nearly 2 days later, when they finally reached the trapped miners, all but one had died. Ross and ICG set up a $2 million compensation fund for the families of the deceased, an amount critics pointed out that paled in comparison to Ross's immense personal fortune, and so that's what the nation said. The appointment is also noteworthy in light of Trump's working-class appeal during the election and his promises to revolutionize the coal industry. So just imagine what you were told, and then look at the reality. This is no different than Obama, just being stacked with all these people. So the person who's handling all those workers, bringing those jobs, this person is corporatist, not worker-friendly. And also when you wonder, gee whiz, how is it that with all the bad news we know about Saudi Arabia, how come they're not criticized or sanctioned ever before Congress? Well, it's simple. According to The Intercept's Li Fang, it's because they hire lots of lobbyists. And they retained a former Washington Post reporter. Quote from The Intercept, "The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is adding more American lobbyists to its payroll by hiring a BGR government affairs, a company founded by former Republican National Committee Hale Barber, according to filings disclosed this week. The contract provides for Barber to receive $500,000 annually to assist with U.S. media outreach for the Center for Studies of Media and Affairs at the Saudi Royal Court, a government entity. The retainer includes services to Jeffrey Birnbaum, a former Washington Post reporter who once covered the lobbying industry and now works as a lobbyist, as well as Ed Rogers, a former Reagan administration official who now lobbies and writes a column for the Post, Washington Post, called Postpartisan. The contract is the latest in a buildup over the last 2 years." And then it goes on to talk about how once you have the lobbyists, and the lobbyists have enormous clout with the media, you don't see any bad news. But here's what we know. This is factual. We know that Saudi Arabia played a role in the funding, organizing, of at least one major part of 9/11. That in itself, just that, should require an independent prosecutor, an independent, not garbage investigation that was done before on 9/11, where all of the experts who have specific understanding and experience of what happened are brought forward and given amnesty, including government agents who worked in departments like the CIA, National Security, and FBI, who knew in advance that there was a planned attack. None of the information about what we know today, what went wrong with the investigation, came from the government. It all came from outside sources or whistleblowers. So we need to know the truth once and for all. Now, a country that really cared about its citizens would have already had that. We haven't. It would also have stopped Saudi Arabia from having any more arms shipments to it. But they continue. It would have also been sanctioned, it itself sanctioned, and brought up on criminal charges because of aiding and abetting terrorists. Because we have proof in WikiLeaks, thank goodness for WikiLeaks, we had evidence that Hillary Clinton and Blumenthal, Sidney Blumenthal, her close confidant, talked about how Saudi Arabia, she knew Saudi Arabia, was funding terrorists, including ISIS, arming them with many of the weapons that we sold to Saudi Arabia. That in itself should say whoever's going to head the war on terror should point out who our supposed allies are who are contributing to this. So anytime there's a terrorist attack anywhere in the world, how much of that attack was in some way enabled because of Saudi Arabia? But when you have good PR, all that goes away. And that's unfortunate. And it shouldn't. If you do something wrong, you should be held accountable. And by the way, the record that Barack Obama's administration has broken was they've rejected more Freedom of Information Act requests than any other administration in American history. From Associated Press, from Ted Burdis, "The Obama administration set a record again for censoring government files or outright denying access to them last year under the Freedom of Information Act. According to a new analysis of federal data by the Associated Press. The government took longer to turn over files when it provided any, and said more regularly that it couldn't find documents or refused a record number of times to turn over files quickly that might be especially newsworthy. So, who caused the Freedom of Information Act law? It was Ralph Nader. It was meant to keep the government from hiding important information from us. But this administration, the most secret in American history, classifying more documents as secret and confidential than any other administration in history, is just pathological. So what are they hiding? If you have nothing to hide, show us the documents. They don't. But again, when you got the media on your side and you got a whole lot of highly conditioned, almost cultists on your side, then no matter what you do, you're not going to be challenged for it. And you should. Here's one of the side effects of not paying attention to what's going on with global warming. This is the latest in Common Dreams. I'll just quote a little bit of it. The whole article is published on our site. And by the way, we post more articles from progressive authors and on issues from all around the world every day than the BBC and Al Jazeera combined. That's every 24 hours. So that you want to be informed of what's happening with real news, not fake news, you have a source, and it's free as a public service. Quote, what is happening in the Arctic will not stay in the Arctic. In an ominous, though not hopeless, report published a couple days ago, researchers warn that as many as 19 various, quote, tipping points could be triggered by the increasingly warm temperatures in the world's northern polar region. These rapid Arctic changes will destabilize the regional and global climate with potentially major impacts, end quote. And that was from the Stockholm Resilience Center. And they issued what was called the Arctic Resilience Report. And it was produced under the auspices of the Arctic Council, international team of researchers with multiple institutions and universities. And it's the first comprehensive assessment of its kind, looking at the unique region from a combined social and ecological perspective. Quote, the warning signals are getting louder. These developments also make the potential for triggering tipping and feedback loops much larger. The signs of dramatic change, the researchers found, are everywhere in the Arctic. The temperatures are nearly 20 degrees Celsius above the seasonal average after being registered over the Arctic Ocean. Summer ice, sea ice cover has hit new record lows several times in the past decade. Now, I find this very important because just last week we filmed in Seattle, up in near the Arctic, over in Vancouver, in Toronto, and in a small island off Seattle. And I have one more interview next week and out in Princeton, and that does it. I'm finished with my filming of the Saving the Planet, my new hard-hitting, I mean, brutally hard to watch, but it's needed. I mean, what's the good of telling you the truth if then you say, I can't handle that, but you better handle it because you're not going to be able to change it. You cannot change what you deny. You know, and so I'm putting it all together, everything about the world's environment in one film. Anyhow, it's now about 80% edited, and I'm hopeful to have it on in the spring. But in the process, I'll just give you something that is not in this report. Every one of the scientists that I interviewed, including Professor Emeritus of Environmental Science, all said the same thing. I said, if you were just to explain to the average lay person, how bad is it? Are we looking at something that might have 100 years before it happens? He said, no, it's happening now. Another one says, no, everything we know on this planet will change within the next 7 years. Another one was more optimistic, 9 years. I said, well, what do you mean change? He said, well, you're going to have about half the species on the planet gone and dead. The oceans won't have enough fish to feed people who relied upon them. The drought that you now see over 20 states in the United States will get so bad that there'll be no way to get water to these people. And he mentioned most of Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Indiana, Colorado, New Mexico, South Dakota, Utah, Nevada. Nevada is, everyone said it was the worst place in America to live. But you have more people moving there. Now, that's the stupid part. And 85% of California and Arizona and Georgia and New York State. How about that? New York State is a phenomenal drought. In fact, when I was driving up to Woodstock, I took some back roads because I wanted to see my old farm where thousands of you came to learn homesteading and organic gardening. It was such a wonderful experience. When I got out of the car, my mind just exploded with images of all the things we used to do there, the seven giant picnic tables that we built to have as many as 40 different entrees that you could sample, all vegan, and all the things that we did to show how we can be more self-sufficient. I even drove by the co-op helped found up there, the first one, the High Foods co-op. So in any case, everything had changed. Wow, the big reservoir that feeds New York City, it's water that does not have water restrictions, it's 50% gone. 50%. There are places you can walk out a quarter of the way out. I just stopped the car and just looked on both sides thinking, why isn't this major news? If this drought doesn't end, and it is highly unlikely it will, many of the northwestern counties, New York State, Columbia County, and others, you're not going to be able to grow anything up there. You're not going to have any life sustainable unless you have your own private little aquifer, which most won't. But you don't think of New York State as being dry. It is severe, and it's going to get worse. And when it dries, then you get the trees dying, then you get the fires. And look in Tennessee. Look in South and North Carolina. Major fires. So there's a consequence. So these people I interviewed, and these are the best of the best, they all said, we are now in chaos theory. So I ask, how do you reach a person that simply doesn't see it? In their life, each day, there's plenty of food. There's no hurricane. There's no drought that is impacting. They turn on up, use as much water as they want. And they don't see the problem. And they said, well, it's coming. You can deny all you want, but it's coming, and it's coming soon. So this report I just gave you about the Arctic, because an awful lot of those, there's 30, over 31 tipping points, but the big tipping points are starting in the Arctic, because when that Arctic water warms so much and Greenland is melting at a horrific rate, 500% higher than what we had estimated, and it has lakes in the middle of it, which means that once the top ice melts down to the lake and exposes that lake, then you have massive breakage. And then you're going to have big sheets calving and going into the ocean, becoming even more fresh water. And that changes the circumventing belt that takes warm water from the Caribbean and South America and takes it up and brings back cooling water. When that slows down, you could have a new ice age over or close to it. Big degrees changes in almost all of Europe and the entire Mediterranean. And we're not talking about 100 years from now. We're talking about in the very, very near future. So just be aware of that. So what's my suggestion? Start planning now of where are the best places with best quality of life, the best resources to live. Now, we're not doing that. And there's a good reason we're not. Because which governor and which mayor wants to be the one who says, I'm the canary in the coal mine, and there's a lot of carbon monoxide in here. So we better start informing people that the ocean's not going to stop coming in, it's not going to recede, and so all those tens of thousands of apartments, thousands of buildings from Key West clear up the east coast of the United States, they're built on sand, not rock. They may have concrete stanchions going down, but it's resting on sand. Eventually, nature takes them away. Cracks in the buildings, they'll try to put up more sand. It's not going to work. Miami will be the first city that'll go. And I believe Miami will not be livable in 10 years. And then you're going to see a massive fling where everybody says, why didn't I know? Why didn't I know? That's called intentional ignorance. Remember, ignorance is a choice. And so then they'll be blaming everyone, losing their money. The property value will fall down. But then there won't be the taxes to pay for the municipal services. Now you have bankruptcy of communities. And when those communities go bankrupt, then roads won't be cleared and schools won't be paid for. So you're going to have a massive collapse. Just saying, there are good quality places to live. I wrote an article on it. It's over 60 pages. Took over a year and a half of research. It's there. Go up on the website, GaryNall.com or ProgressiveRadarNetwork.com, and look for that article on sustainable places to live. But prepare now, because otherwise, by the time you realize you should do something, you're like the person who didn't plan on a fire burning down their house in Tennessee, and then you get a call that you got to get out and evacuate now, and then your house burns down. I don't want to see anyone lose anything. I just want people to be aware how bad it is. Now, also, when it comes to these appointments, I'm going to keep you posted on why I'm opposed to them. I'm opposed to all of them, by the way, that I've seen this far, especially it's really irritating for those of us who actually have a respect for teaching. I'm a teacher for over 30 years and who have advanced degrees and who have been in the academic community and know its strengths and weaknesses. And we know the crisis we're facing and we know the solutions and we know how to implement those solutions if we're given some support. At the same time, you have someone like Betsy DeVos, D-O-V-O-S, who is a functional illiterate. Here's what you should know about her. First of all, she's a billionaire. That in itself doesn't disqualify her. She's a major GOP funder. That in itself also doesn't disqualify her. But she's a hard right activist in Michigan, and she's going to be the new Secretary of the Department of Education. Now, how can you invite someone to be a Secretary of Education who has been vehemently and adamantly against public education? How can you possibly consider that person objective? She is only in alignment with the private schools, the charter schools, which are extremely risky, but we the people end up funding a lot of that. And the people that own the private charters benefit from it, but it doesn't mean that the students are better educated. To the contrary, I have a whole list of research on how much they fail, but this is who we're selecting, a person who does not support the school teachers, does not support the unions, does not support the education. And by the way, she refused to send her children to public schools in Grand Rapids, Michigan. She has four children. They raised in the prosperous town of Ada, Michigan, which is the headquarters for Amway. And the public elementary, middle, and high schools in Ada, a suburb of Grand Rapids, Michigan, are highly ranked. But she did not send her children to any of those highly ranked public schools. And instead of sending their children to public schools for over 30 years, Betsy and her husband Dick have focused on pushing vouchers for private schools and bankrolling politicians to advance their agenda to redirect American tax dollars away from truly public education. Well, I support public education, and I do not support the way curriculums are selected. I do not support the testing methods, which create an entirely illiterate society. We do not create the critical minds, but I still believe that the system can be improved tremendously. She also retained a convicted felon to lobby for her wish list of education reforms, and she also pushed policies cloaked as choice that undermine public schools in Michigan and nationwide, and she's big on the theocracy. She's pushed for vouchers and more to get tax money to support Christian schools. If you want to spend your own $1 billion plus on Christian schools, you have every right to do that, and I will not take issue with that. But if you want we the people who do not want to fund religious schools, any kind of religious school, we want to support public education, that's fine. So I'm not a big theocracy person. But that's just on who he has selected for our Department of Education. And with each one of these, I'll tell you who they are and why I believe that they should be challenged. Also with this, I'll give you more on that other person I'm interested in exposing, head of National Institute of Health, a little later. Here are some things on vaccines you should know. The latest report, and I just got this today. It was a It was a vaccination and health outcomes, that's the title, a survey of 6 to 12-year-olds, vaccinated and unvaccinated children based upon mother's reports. And this was from the Epidemiology and Biostatistics School of Public Health, Jackson State University, and the National Home Education Research Institute, and the Epidemiology and Biostatistics School of Public Health. Here's what it says, quote, I'm just giving you the abstract, just the conclusions. In this study, based upon mothers' reports, the vaccinated had a higher rate of allergies and what are called NDDs. And these are neurodevelopmental disorders. And that could be autism, they're seeing, and all forms of behavioral outcomes that were detrimental, like ADHD. So it says that. And it also says that the unvaccinated didn't have that. Quote, vaccination, but not preterm birth, remains significantly associated with NDD after controlling for other factors. Further research involving larger independent samples is needed to verify and understand these unexpected findings. Well, they are not unexpected to parents, millions of parents around this country. It's not unexpected to those of us that actually spend thousands of hours studying the scientific literature. I will state on the record, I will debate anyone in America. You show me where any vaccine, any single vaccine, is safe, every one of its ingredients, and I will show you that every one of those ingredients, everyone, is toxic. I have mounds, thousands of peer-reviewed scientific literature on toxicology. Then take a different argument. Now show me where they're proven to protect every single person they're given to from the illnesses. And they can't. But I can show you that can actually weaken the immune system and actually give you the diseases for which you're trying to protect them. So it's time that we understood that more education you have on this, the stronger will be the pushback against mandatory vaccines. I have put 41 articles I have personally written, fully referenced, fully documented, plus three documentaries, Silent Epidemic, Autism Made in USA, and Vaccination, up on my website. It's right there. Watch them, read them, be critical of them, but understand that these are the things that we have that can help us, strengthen us. Also, this is the latest, and this is from Jeffrey Jackson. Quote, the new Nordic Cochrane Center complaint destroying human papillomavirus safe and effective narrative. Quote, piece by piece, the foundation and historical legacy of the human papillomavirus vaccine is fast approaching the reality anticipated by former pharmaceutical industry physician with Gardasil manufacturers, Merck, when he stated in 2014, quote, I predict that Gardasil will become the greatest medical scandal of all times, end quote. In Europe, the safe and effective human papillomavirus misinformation appears to have run its course, receiving no coverage by mainstream media sources. The Nordic Cochrane Center has filed its second complaint in 5 months, this time to the European Center, over maladministration at the European Medicines Agency in relation to the safety of the human papillomavirus vaccine. Quote, some of our concerns were not addressed at all, and several of the MEA's statements were either wrong or seriously misleading or irrelevant for the criticisms we had posted. We therefore now complain to the European Union over the EMA. And then it lists page after page after page of what's wrong with the European Union saying, oh, the Gardasil vaccines are safe and effective. Well, here's the most highly rated, respected group of independent scientists and physicians in the world who looked at the evidence and said, it's garbage. It's absolute garbage. You have no good science on your side. You have politics, you have lots of money, you have scientists you can buy, but you don't have science. So just be aware of that. The next time you go to say, oh, they said my child had to have the human papilloma vaccine, the Gardasil vaccine, I would never recommend anyone giving any vaccine, especially that one. That is the most dangerous of all the vaccines you could possibly give, unless you do your homework first. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. just one announcement that tonight at 7 p.m. all over the world, Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m., we are going to premiere my new feature film, Plant Codes. It is a very important film to watch. Got standing ovation in Huntington. The whole audience stood up afterwards. It shows you the truth about how we can reverse diseases, cancer, heart disease, mental illness. People who have reversed multiple sclerosis, end stage, are in here. All the physicians in the film have something in common. All of them. And these are not physicians you're familiar with. These are all board certified. Many are academic board certified. I won't tell you what it is. You'll see for yourself. But watch this and you can help save some lives and stop a lot of suffering. At the end of it, you're going to feel good about life and you'll have hope. Plant Codes, my newest feature film. Been working on this for a long time and I'm premiering it to the whole world because of all the people are both of our... That's why I only mentioned it once or twice, because all the showings have always sold out instantly. So everybody can watch it. Go to prn.fm, that's prn.fm, or progressiveradionetwork.com, or garynall.com, or my Facebook. No matter where you go, you'll see a trailer. You can watch a trailer of it, and then you can see Push, and that way you can join it. And then I'm going to be doing a live webinar afterwards to address issues in it. I'm very concerned. I know many of you are concerned about what's happening with our country. I believe that we must take a step back, reflect honestly, and say, why have we allowed it to get to this place? I want to share some thoughts. I doubt I will have time for a talk back, but if I do, I'll invite you to call in to share your thoughts. And I'm going to share some Chris Hedges thoughts because we need more critical thinking on these issues. Why? Because we wait for the crisis. Now, the crisis could be economic. It could be a terrorist attack within the United States. It could be widespread devastation caused by global warming. It could be nationwide unrest as the death spiral of the American empire intensifies. It could be another defeat in our endless and futile wars. But we all know, don't we? The crisis is coming. And when it arrives, it will be seized upon by the corporate state, nominally the one led by a clueless real estate developer, to impose martial law and formalize the end of American democracy. When we look back at this sad, pathetic period in American history, we will ask the questions all who have slid into despotism ask. Why were we asleep? Why did we allow this to happen? Why didn't we see it coming? Why didn't we resist? Why did we allow the corporate state to strip away the rights of the poor and people of color and force them to live in terror in many police states? Why did we build the world's largest system of mass incarceration? Why did we not see that the rest of us would be next? Why did we agree that those defined by the state as terrorists could not only be deprived of their rights, but be assassinated? Did we think the state would restrict itself to persecuting and murdering Muslims? Why did we remain silent as the state aggregated to itself the right to detain and prosecute people not for what they had done, or even for what they were planning to do, but for holding religious or political beliefs that the state deemed seditious? Why did we stand by and permit the state to torture? Did we not see that once rights became privileges, the state would one day revoke them? The failure of our capitalist democracy was collective. It was bred by ignorance, indifference, racism, bigotry, and the seduction of mass propaganda. It was bred by elites, especially in the press, the courts, and academia, who chose careerism over moral and intellectual courage. Our rights as citizens were taken from us one by one. There was hardly a word of protest. But maybe I'm wrong. Where were the lawyers, the judges, the law professors, and the law school deans who should have ferociously defended our rights to privacy and due process and habeas corpus? Why didn't they have the nerve to challenge Barack Obama's signing into law Section 1021 of the National Defense Authorization Act? Section 1021 overturns the 1878 Posse Comitatus Act, which prohibited the military from acting as a domestic police force. The section also permits the military to carry out extraordinary rendition of U.S. citizens, strip them of all due process, and hold them indefinitely in military detention centers. Why didn't the legal profession fight against the Obama administration's misinterpretation of the 2001 Authorization for Use of Military Force Act as giving the executive branch the right to order the assassination of U.S. citizens? How did lawyers and judges allow the misuse of the Espionage Act to target and imprison whistleblowers? All of them. How did they permit the Supreme Court to define unlimited corporate contributions to electoral campaigns as a right to petition the government or form of free speech? Why did they allow those branded as terrorists by the state and allow poor people of color to be locked for years in solitary confinement or special detention centers without fair trials? Why were they silent as the state built black sites around the globe, including in Chicago, to torture and kill? Why did they permit the state to impose special administrative measures, known as SAMs, to prevent or severely restrict prisoners' communications with other prisoners and attorneys and families and the media and people outside the jails, crippling any possibility of an adequate defense? Did they not know where the erosion of the legal system would lead? And where were all the economists pointing out the absurdity of the neoliberal ideology that told us that human society should be governed by the dictates of the market, that is, until the market collapsed in an orgy of fraud and corruption and needed the government to bail it out? Why did the political scientists chase after value-free data, carry out quantitative projects, and seek an unachievable scientific clarity? Why didn't they and others warn us about the dire consequences of eroding democratic institutions? Why did they stand mute as money replaced the vote and lobbyists authored our laws? Where were they when constitutionally protected statements and beliefs and associations were criminalized? Why didn't they protest when dissidents, even those who broke no laws, were stripped of their rights and imprisoned without due process? Why did they continue to speak and write as if the fiction of our democracy was real? Why didn't they illuminate our constitutional crisis? Why did those in academia commit intellectual treason? They traded their intellectual integrity and autonomy for tenure and publishing contracts and lecture fees and research grants and coveted deanships or college presidencies. Why did the press render the poor and the working poor invisible? Why did it walk away from its role as the investigator of corruption and the abuse of power? Why did it become a courier to the elites? Why did it measure the success of its broadcasts and publications solely by the profits produced? Why did it refuse to give a platform to critics of corporate capitalism and imperial war? Why did it serve as an echo chamber for the arms industry and Wall Street? Why did it hide behind the fiction of neutrality and objectivity? Why did it debase reporting to quoting establishment experts, most of whom lied, in order to stay within the narrow confines of opinion sanctioned by the power elites? Why did the press obscure the truth? Where were the great moral and religious truth tellers? Why did they use the language of identity politics as a substitute for the language of social justice? Why did they refuse to condone as heretics those on the Christian right who refused the symbols of the state with those of the Christian religion? Why did they collaborate with the evil of corporate capitalism? Why did they retreat into churches and synagogues and establishing exclusive social clubs rather than fight the injustice outside their doors? Why did they abandon the poor? Why did they replace prophetic demands for justice with cloying political correctness and personal piety? The desiccation of our liberal institutions ensured the demise of our capitalist democracy. History has amply demonstrated that what was to come next, the rot of a political paralysis, vomited up by a con artist as a president, along with an array of half-wits, criminals, and racist ideologues. They were manufacturing scapegoats as their gross ineptitude and unachievable promises are exposed. They will fan the flames of white supremacy and racial and religious bigotry. They will use all the tools of legal and physical control handed to them by our system of inverted totalitarianism to crush even the most tepid forms of dissent. The last constraints will be removed by a crisis. The crisis will be used to create a climate of fear. The pretense of democracy will end. Our ruling mafia will use the crisis much as the Nazis did in 1933 when the Reichstag was burned. It will publish its own version of the Order of the Reich President for the Protection of People and State. The U.S. Constitution will be, in effect, suspended. Personal freedom, including freedom of expression, freedom of the press, freedom to organize, and freedom to assembly, will be abolished. Privacy will be formally eradicated. Search warrants will be unnecessary. America's emergency decrees will cement into place what largely exists now. When they come, the loss of freedoms will be openly acknowledged and made permanent. Anyone who is not white or loyal will be attacked, first verbally, then physically. Everyone will be constantly watched. The prisons will swell. Militarized police will no longer be confined to operating in marginal communities. Lethal, indiscriminate force by the state will be common. The courts will be condoning with little or no evidence. The press will utterly unplug itself from reality and speak to us as if we lived in a functioning democracy. Academics will burrow deeper into their holes of obtuse jargon and quantitative irrelevance. The last remnants of our labor unions will be crushed. Religious institutions, as silent about the evils of corporate capitalism as Goldman Sachs, will take the safe route of spirituality and piety rather than social justice. The lawyers, the courts, and the law schools will serve as nothing because it will all be at that point irrelevant. Hollywood and the rest of the mass entertainment will churn out the usual tawdry fare of sexually explicit and violent drenched spectacles. The military's so-called virtues of hypermasculinity and patriarchy will be celebrated. In conclusion, there will be rebels. There will be they will live in the shadows. They will be the renegade painters, sculptors, poets, writers, journalists, musicians, actors, dancers, organizers, activists, mystics, intellectuals, and other outcasts who are willing to accept personal sacrifice. They will not surrender their identity, their integrity, their creativity, their independence, and finally their souls. They will speak the truth. The state will have little tolerance for them. They will be poor. The wider society will be conditioned by mass propaganda to write them off as parasites or traitors. They will be kept alive only by what is left of dignity and freedom. Thank you for listening. Have a nice day.
Just hold me.